In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The parable of the vineyard is, on the one hand, about the people of Israel, the people that God chose, and how, after he had given them the Ten Commandments as a hedge around the community of Israel, and given them all of the things that were necessary in order to prepare the vineyard for the Lord. When Christ came, he found that those who worked in the vineyard wanted the fruits of the vineyard for themselves. When the prophets had come, one by one, they rejected them, threw them out of the vineyard, as it says in the parable. But the parable is not just about the rejection of Christ by the people of Israel. It is also a parable about the church. The church is the new vineyard. The church is the new Israel. And God has prepared his church so that we who are born into the world in these end times each have the opportunity to make our lives a fruitful vineyard. The church is all of the faithful at one with each other and moving together toward God. This sustains us as individuals. When we fall away, we have a place to return to because the rest have continued to move toward God. It includes all of those from the time of the apostles down until now. And even more than that, it includes those who had come before Christ. They too are brought into this movement of all of our humanity toward Christ, the fulfillment of our humanity. That is the church. All of those faithful at one with one another and moving toward God. You and I do not, as C.S. Lewis once put it, have bodies or have a soul. I am a body and soul. You are a body and a soul. That is what you are. They are together. The whole person who loves God and moves toward him. And each one of us is a small part of all mankind. And each part, each one of us, is like the whole, created in the image and likeness of God to move toward him. To find our fulfillment, the fulfillment of our humanity in Christ God. And so mankind is like all of us, body and soul, visible and invisible. The church is the bodies and souls of all mankind at one with Christ. That's what the church is. The bodies and souls of all mankind at one with Christ, now and forever. It means past and present and looking on into the future until the return of Christ. That is the church. The church is the vineyard where others have worked before us, the saints. And we now also press out and ferment the wine of our lives. It is a labor to gain the spiritual fruit of our life in the world, our experiences. They are difficult experiences. We oftentimes fail and slip and have to return. And whatever it is that has been that difficulty or that shortcoming or that failing, it becomes the occasion of another pressing out of what had not been able to bear the good fruit of the vine, but now it is brought into the part of our spiritual effort that is our life. The church is where, through confession and communion, we grind up our passions, and we knead in the raising yeast of faith in Christ for wine and for bread of our life to offer up to God. When the paten is brought in and the wine is in the chalice and the bread is on the paten. It is us offering up our own lives to God, that he might bring our lives together into his life, bring our humanity together into his humanity. And it is returned to us when the chalice comes forth from the altar and we are given the bread and wine of our life back to us as the body and blood of Christ. He has gathered us into him, into himself, and returned us restored in his perfect humanity. And he gives us this food to go out into the world and live lives like his. When we leave the divine liturgy, we leave as members of the body of Christ. And it is his vitality, the vitality of his divine and human life that makes us able to live whole lives once we return into the world. We return into the world and live our lives and spend the divine energy that he has given to us, bringing whatever experience occurs to us together into this life in Christ that we are living. And we again come back to the divine liturgy and offer up the loaf of the life that we have lived during that time in the world. And it is brought again to the altar and returned to us so that we are restored once again and enlivened with his new vitality. We offer up to God each liturgy the life that we have been living in the world. Life is making prosphora for the divine liturgy. The prosphora. What is the prosphora? Most people know. It is those five loaves that are made by people of the church and brought to the church. And those are the loaves of bread offered by us where members of the church have prayed and thought of all of us together, made those loaves and brought them so that they could be used as the means of taking a particle for every member of the church who has ever been a member of the church. All of the saints from the beginning of time are mentioned during the service of preparation that comes before the divine liturgy. So when we bring the prosphora and then we come ourselves, we are offering ourselves up, the loaf of our lives, as saints and martyrs offered themselves up in ancient times. This is my life that I offer up to God, and I receive eternal life. That's what we're doing during the course of our lives in the world. Our lives in the world aren't separate from God. We have had returned to us God's calling for human beings to make our lives in the world a gathering together of all of the experience and all of the things that we touch and all of the other persons that we touch during the course of our lives in the world, gather them together and offer them up to thanksgiving and receive them back again, purified and made perfect in Christ as our communion with him. And so we are preparing for communion with him as we live our lives in the world. The church is a vineyard. And there is a hedge around it for us. Not any longer simply the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, but there is a hedge of teachings of the church around the church and in our heart. These teachings protect us. They are the wisdom of the church, the wisdom of the centuries. Belief in them, belief in the teachings, does not itself give us eternal life. It is only living the lives that grew the teachings that can do that. Those who have put these teachings into words have lived the new life in Christ that his coming and crucifixion, resurrection, sending the Holy Spirit made possible. And because they lived their lives in that way, they were able to give us these words about the truth, the reality of what the meaning of life is and the meaning of living life in Christ. They had to live those lives in order to be able to give us those teachings. And those teachings are a hedge around the vineyard for us. Within the vineyard, within this realm of communion, working together amongst the vines, we live a life in love of others and of God. We don't condemn others. We don't compare ourselves against others. We each live our own lives without condemning others or judging them, because we know that they are doing the same. and we are all living, oriented, and moving toward the same perfect human life of Jesus Christ. It takes all of us together to do that. None of us as individuals can do it. We do it together. We clear the brush within our souls. We pull the weeds of our passions. We prepare new ground for new virtues in our souls. And we chase out the foxes, our passions that want to steal the fruit of our spiritual effort, our lives in the world. All of our life in the world is meant to be a spiritual effort, but we have to chase out those hungry foxes of our passions that want to steal the grapes, drink the fruit of the vineyard. All during the week, we are patient, as someone who takes care of a vineyard is patient, doing what needs to be done when the time is right, doing our spiritual work in the vineyard inside of us. And all of our life that we live physically in the world, all of the things that we do, they are part of this spiritual effort, this spiritual life. You can't say, this is my life in the world, and this is my life in the church. They are made one by Christ. When the time is right, at the end of the week, we gather together and offer up the fruit of our work to Christ God. We offer ourselves, and we receive again the body and blood of our communion with Christ. All of us offer ourselves up to Christ in the divine liturgy, and we receive back from him, himself, his life, so that we can go and live his life in the world. When we look out across the centuries, there are some vines in the vineyard that seem dry. They are no longer green with the life of this world. They seem dead. They are like relics. We have relics. Relics of lives of men and women who have lived long ago, but lived their life in the vineyard in such a way that they brought forth fruit that we still drink from. When we read the writings or hear the words of St. John Chrysostom and Irenaeus, Basil the Great, the other great saints whose icons we have here in the church, St. Nikolai, St. Paisios of the Holy Mountain, more recent saints, their words are refreshing to us long after they are gone. We find the grapes that were born as the fruit of their lives sweet and refreshing, filled with eternal life. Such lives bear fruit forever. The church is a work of keeping faith with Christ across the generations and with all of the silent majority. You know, the politicians have taken that term, but the silent majority, what it means literally is the departed. There are more of them than us. There are more members of the body of Christ who have fallen asleep in the Lord than members of the body of Christ who are presently on the earth. We keep faith with them, with the silent majority of all of the communion of saints across the centuries. In our daily lives, we are responsible to them and to Christ, to live lives worthy of them, to bear fruit that we can offer up, that others can drink from, so that refreshes them. We can do this not because you and I are holy ourselves, but because the best one of us is God incarnate, Jesus the Christ. The best one of us is Jesus the Christ. And we have his life in us. We have his life in us because we have given up and offered our lives to him and had our lives returned to us as the new humanity, the body and blood of Christ that we receive. He is the bread and wine that gives us life. In our actions, our worship, our work, we have not always been faithful, but we desire to be faithful. We desire what is good. We desire what is true and noble and holy. And when we are not good, true, holy, and noble, we repent and we rejoin the body of Christ. We rejoin the rest of the church by repentance. We rejoin the movement toward Him. And each time, we live one step higher than before. We are never to despair because the race has already been won by Christ. The enemy has already been conquered by Christ. And if we return to Him and stick with Him, then our lives too will be a conquest of the presence of temptation and sin and suffering and death in the world, all of which He has overcome already. We continue in motion both in and toward our true selves. We can act within our true self at one with Christ and move toward Christ God. Our work together with Christ is ongoing and meaningful. It never fails. There is never a situation when we cannot return to the fullness of the meaning of our life in Christ. Each of us is a vine dresser to our own inner vineyard. Jesus says we have a lease in the vineyard, to work in the vineyard. We are not the owners of the vineyard. We are not the owners of our own lives. And we must use the thinking part of our soul, not just to prosper in a worldly way, but as an inward overseer. By attention to the inner vineyard, we must actively and consciously tend ourselves to bear good fruit. We must trim the suckers. Those little, if you know anything about gardening, they're little shoots that come out. They don't put out new branches with leaves. They just draw life from the plant. So we have to trim these parts, these passions that lead to nothing. Passions lead to nothing. They build up, they peak, and they go away. They build up, they peak, and they go away. And emotionally, our feelings, we travel the same way, like waves coming in from the ocean. But if we're calling them the suckers on the vine, those things need to be cut off because they are not going to do us any good. They're not going to lead to anything. They're going to starve the roots of the plant. And they won't trim themselves. We have to do it. We can't just let them ride and come and go. We have to cut them off. There are those who stand aside from Christ during each day, during each week. I will go, I will worship the Lord on the weekend. That is His part. They stand aside from God in their lives. They are the ones that Jesus calls bad vine dressers. They want the fruit of life for themselves. They eat the grapes before they're pressing. When we bring ourselves to the divine liturgy and offer ourselves up to God, our lives are pressed out on the altar, and we receive the pressed and changed fruit of our lives as the body and blood of Christ. It's no longer just the wine of our lives. It's the blood of Christ, because it's been transformed by the perfection of His humanity that He has joined to us. To consume the fruit of our work, ourselves, for ourselves, is ungodly. It denies Christ. Sometimes we are tempted to pride by some good action, and we lose the profit. We have drunk the fruit of the effort ourselves, and that fruit of that effort is pride, and we enjoy it. But we lose all of the benefit, spiritually, of the effort. The pride is a forbidden fruit of our spiritual good works. If we discipline our children in anger, the discipline may be right, but the anger is a taste of forbidden fruit, you see. We have taken something for ourselves that we ought not to have taken, even though we have done what we ought to have done. This is how we find ways of drinking the fruit of our work in life. Think of how many ways that applies to the way we live in the world. Think of when we kept something invisible and spiritual, back for ourselves from our work through pride or vanity. It strips the work of spiritual meaning and leaves that part of our life blank and empty as a spiritual effort. It makes us feel as though we own our own lives. That's what happens when we drink the fruit of our spiritual effort, all of our works in the world. It makes us feel that we own our own lives. We deserved it. We did the work. It belongs to me. And we have drunk forbidden fruit. It keeps our fear of failure at bay. That's why it makes us feel so good. I have accomplished this. I have the pride that comes from this. It keeps our fear of failure, our fear of death at bay to drink the fruit of our efforts in the world. St. Nikolai Velimirovic says that every day God's angels harvest men's souls and bear them off from this world like grapes gathered in a vineyard. And our turn must come and will come, every single one of us. And St. Nikolai prays along with us, may the fruit of our lives be sweet and not bitter to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.